to date with some new things that are going to be happening for the rest of this year from our ICS department of church. Like, this is to do with the co-op and our outreach into the community. As Josh has already mentioned, we've got the park day next week. We want to encourage you to bring people along to that as well. It's not just our church family. It is also the wider community can come too and join in. And so bring a friend. Make sure you're coming here first on the Sunday. Then we go to the park. So we want you to come as well and bring your friend along to church as well. That'd be great. So our ICS this year, ICS program, which is the Impact Care Services part of the church, we are doing hampers again. We're going to be trying to get 250 hampers put together to give out to our community this year. I think we can achieve that goal. Do you think though, Tim? I think Tim knows. He's excited about it. So we're going to ask you if you can bring in anything that you can pick up, just the odd, next time you're shopping, just the odd bits and pieces that you'd like to add to it as we put our hampers together. We are getting donations from other organisations, but we'd also like a little bit of contribution from our family as well here. Also, our angel tree. Who knows what angel tree is? This is where we get a little gift card. We pin it to the tree out the front of the church. If you're online, you can contact us through our website with all the different links involved in our church, but Angel Tree is one of them. It is this gift card is for a boy between 10 and 13. So we spend $30 for a gift, bring it in, and you get to wrap it as well. So you get to put it all together as well as you want to, and you get to bring it in and put it under the tree for the Angel Tree. These gifts are for kids, and they're for kids that are a family member of someone or parent that has been incarcerated or in prison, where they can't share a Christmas with their parent, but at least we can do something to help that parent have their child get a gift for this Christmas. So we want you to get involved. So we'll have a heap of these out in the foyer at the Ask Me desk at the end of the service. So grab one and think of something creative for $30 that you can give to a child over Christmas that won't be able to share it the same way we might. Okay, Pastor Tony, he's living it up at the moment. They are currently on a flight now to Rome. So they had their stopover in, I think it was Abu Dhabi, and now they're on their way to Rome enjoying a well-earned holiday. And we just want to wish them well and hope they have a good time. They'll be watching online when they get the chance. But yes, we just want to wish them well. But today, we have the privilege of having just as good a pastor to preach to us today. This pastor is awesome, and I'm biased because I know them very well. And we want to welcome to our campus pastor, Pastor Murray Shell, to speak out our message today.
Thank you. Well, there you go, hey. That's quite an introduction. I'm just as good of a pastor. That's all good. Like, you know, I am so privileged to share God's word with you this morning. And I don't take it lightly. It's just one of those things that when you get up here, it's nerve-wracking. Because even though I'm here doing MC and everything like that, you know, sharing God's word with you has a different level, you know. Like I think I said before, it's like giving birth. For those of the people that haven't given birth, and you know, it's a quite a thing. But it's all right. I think I'll just stop right there. But you know, thanks. I always thank and not take for granted the fact that I get to do this, and especially when the pastor's away, Pastor Tony and Cheryl, they're going to be away for a couple of weeks, and so we have. I have myself to preach for the next couple of weeks, and also Pastor John Rewald is going to be speaking with us on the third week. So, you know, and it's always good when you can release your pastors to go on holidays. It is important for their longevity, and it's important for them to have renewed vision when they come back. So we're praying that they get a safe flight and that they are going to be well and that they will enjoy the scenery of Rome and Italy and Croatia. I think that's a really good thing to do. Well, you know, today, like I said, I felt the message that God gave me as I was preparing this in the last few weeks. I knew that God wanted me to speak on this topic, and actually Pastor Tony launched this for me without talking to him in detail on what I was actually talking about. So I knew that then that God is saying, yes, I want you to speak on this topic. And even this morning, Josh used the same scripture that I, you know, that I'm going to use this morning. And so I was saying to God this morning, are you sure, God, that this is okay? That, you know, I want to know that this is your word. And then he maneuvers, he orchestrates, and things like that to know, to make me know that, yes, this is the word that I want you to speak on. So I want to talk to you today on the subject of faith.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you. On the subject of faith. And I'm going to do this, a two-week series on the subject of faith. And, you know, we need faith more than ever. With the way the economy is going, with the way things are in terms of life, in terms of the cost of living, more than ever before, we need to have faith. We need to have faith to move life forward. We need to have faith to know that God's going to be with us and for us, regardless of the circumstances. God is going to be there for us. And I want to revisit in my couple of weeks of this series called Faith, I want to revisit the theme that we were started on at the beginning of the year, where we launched a theme called It Takes Two. And it takes two is the concept of not just having someone next to you to do the journey of life with, but the concept of the fact that you need God to make life work. Because that's what the framework of faith. And so if you are note taking this morning, and I suggest that you should whenever you're at church, whether it's on your iPhone or whatever it is that the title of my message this morning is called Faith to Finish. Faith to Finish. You know, God has a lot to say about faith. He has a lot to say about faith. Faith is not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. Faith is not, it's not meant to be a formality. Faith is not meant to be just a feeling. Faith is meant to be more than just a formula, because if you can reduce it to a formula and make sense of it, then it's not faith, right? Most of us say that we have faith, but until you know what type of faith and what level of faith you have, because your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested in life. Because why? Because it needs to be purified. And so we need to have a faith to finish. Now, before I continue with my message, I want to actually do an illustration about faith. I want to get a volunteer. So, do you guys have faith in me? I think I need someone that may be a little bit shorter so that... I might pick on Alana. Give Alana a hand. She doesn't know that this was some thing. I was praying, God, who do I pick? And just zeroed in on. Let's just stand here. Now, I mean, I've known Alana for maybe a year, yeah, and I don't really know her very well. I'm not sure whether you actually trust me or have faith in me, right? So in this demonstration, I want to just do an illustration about faith. So, I'll just move this here. Just come closer. It's okay. I'm not going to bite. Right. So, if I tell you... Now, I actually did this. I'm actually quite nervous in doing this, just in case. I did this illustration a couple of years ago with a client of mine, just to you know, illustrate what faith is. And so I said to him that this is a bag, right? And in this bag, I want you to fill this bag with water for me, okay? And I want to show you and tell you that when you fill this bag with water, we're going to, you know, do a Ziploc. And I want to illustrate that, would you trust me if I put this on top of your head that full of water, and I poke holes in it with a pen, that it won't actually, the water won't come out?
Do I have a choice? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. So let's pray. See, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith to know that this is going to work. Because I actually tried it this morning, and it didn't quite. So, but anyway, okay. We you trust me, right? Okay. Well, because you trust me, maybe I need to give you a towel just in case, because we don't want to ruin your dress. So, do you want to put this on? Great. See, I love the fact that we're nearly the same height.
Well, actually, I've healed.
Oh, well, yeah, same here. Yeah. All right. Cool. And because you trust me, I was trying to find a shower cap, but can you put this so that you maybe, you know, just in case? Okay, thank you. Right. That is a great look.
Is
I mean,
look?
Yes. Yes. So that's great. Thank you so much. Like, sorry for embarrassing, but, you know, we're good.
Yep.
You're not going to hate me after, hey? Okay, so anyway, I would like you to put water on this. Fill it up.
Yeah.
Yep. Fill it right up. See, I love the fact that maybe we need more water. Can I have more water, please? Brad or Josh, whatever. I need more water. Because we need to fill the water up.
Up to there.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, here you go. We'll just fill more water. This is a illustration. Hopefully the pastor won't.
There's more.
More? Okay, thank you. Like, oh, this bag is thirsty. Okay, oh, geez.
Oh, it's getting heavy.
It's getting heavy? Okay, it's okay. Well, let's have faith that it won't burst. Okay. Okay, that's great. Let's just, okay, great.
We already got one.
That's okay. Sorry. So, Alana, you trust me to be good to you, right?
Hmm, yes.
Hmm, there's a bit of a hesitation there. Now, I want to show you that I'm going to put this over your head. Well, I don't know, maybe. I can't really read. And if I say to you that I'm going to put this on top of your head and it won't think, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much. One. So, cheer him on. Number two. Two. Three. I'm not a magician. Four. Five.
Wow.
Now, do you trust me, Alana?
Yeah.
Okay, you can, you know. Were you wet?
No.
So, this is like our faith, church, family. This is our faith. And sometimes in life, these five things, and you can put more there if you want. These five things are a representation of things that in life can derail us, can detour us, can discourage us. But we have a faith in here, in this vessel, and it will be tested. It will be tested. And what will happen if I now take this off? It will leak. We don't want to have a leaky faith. This is what I'm saying. We want to have a faith that is sturdy and secure. We want to have a faith that we can trust. We trust God that whatever comes our way, whether this year, next year, whatever it is, that God is going to hold us together.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Alana. I appreciate that. Now, let's just put this away. Did you like that illustration? I was like very nervous because, you know, you don't want that to be. Give Alana a hand. So the definition of faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Thank you, Alana, for putting your trust in me and your faith in me. Because if that thing kind of went, you know, not good, I don't know what will happen. But in that regard, it doesn't matter, because faith will always outwork. Like, God will always be with us no matter what happens. He will always hold us together. The challenge that we know is that it is hard to accept and trust God implicitly. When we accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we know that we can trust Him wholeheartedly. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that there is a lot. When you look at Hebrews 11, there's a list of people called heroes of faith. One of the great examples of faith is Abram. In Genesis 15:6, it says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." When we think about that, the story of Abram is that, you know, he couldn't have a child, but God actually said to him, "You will have a child." And then later on, he's asked him to sacrifice his son, and he had faith to do that. He had faith. And so it says that the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. You know, obedience seems to be the key part of God's testing. The ultimate goal is to finish what God has asked us to do. God wants to remind each and every one of us here today this one simple truth. And it's found in Philippians 1:6. "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Isn't that a hope that we can profess?
Yeah.
Because it means it just takes off the weight, the pressure of feeling like we have to do this thing. But God said that he will continue. So he began. He began a good work in you. When you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he began already a good work in you. And you don't need to, you know, strive. You know, when I was a young Christian, and because I was brought up as a Catholic, I thought that being, you know, accepting Jesus, I had to work my way up to please him. But the only criteria that God is asking us to do is that you believe in me. That you believe in me. It takes off the pressure of trying to be that type of person, to be something like, "Oh, well, I have to climb my way up." God is not like that. So what he began, he will continue until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. You know, we serve a God who doesn't just start things, but he finishes things. Can you imagine when Jesus is on the cross, he started, you know, the process of that, the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was beaten and flogged. What would have happened if he said during that middle thing when carrying the cross, "Oh, sorry, I just can't do it. I just can't do it." But no, he finished. He finished. Jesus finished what he was set out to do. Mission accomplished. And what was the last words when Jesus was on that cross? "It is finished." So it is finished. And he will accomplish what he has begun in you. We are a work in progress. We are someone that, you know, we're not going to be perfect, but we are a work in progress. So God's nature is a finisher. It's not only what he does, but it's who he is. He will never leave anything undone. So, for all of us, we need to have faith to finish. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever started something and not finished it? You know, there's a roar of laughter there. What haven't you finished?
Many things.
It could be renovations. It could be studying. Like you start something and then you pull out because it's just too hard. But God wants to encourage you and infuse in you. You can't do it. What you started, because God is more interested in how you finish than how you started. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. What I notice here is that he fought. So this is Timothy. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. And he kept the faith. There's three ingredients there. For us to finish to faith is that there are three things. There's to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and you keep the faith. Finishing the race meaning you have your lane and I have mine. It's not about competition. It's about complementing. You know, have you ever run in a race like you're competing with somebody, but really you don't cross over their lane? You just worry about your own lane and go to the finish line. You don't go meandering in someone else's lane. You just go for it and have a focus, laser focus of wanting to receive the prize. You know, there's a race that God has set out for each and every one of us. I can't do your race. I can't run your race. I can only run mine. Little legs I have, I can still run. But God has a specific race for you that only you can do. No one else can tamper with that. It has your name, it has your DNA, it has your specific abilities and giftings that God wants to use for that specific race. And you will complete it because that's his promise. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, so what is he saying therefore? When we look at in Hebrews 11, it lists those heroes of faith of people that have gone before us. So he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set out for us. You know, I'll be 50 in 2 years' time. I know a woman should never reveal their age, but that's okay. I'm embracing the maturity and the age thing happening. But I was thinking about this. I have lived more than what I have left. So if God graces me another 30 years or more, then I have lived my life and I'm halfway there. And I want to be able to say that I have run the race, I have fought the good fight, I have kept my faith. Anyone else here wants to finish well?
Yeah.
To finish the race that God has set out for you? Anyone else here wants to trip over and, you know, just... We don't, do we? So we want to finish well. But when you look at your life, there are so many things that God wants to do in you, for you, and through you. The beneficiary of your life doesn't just stop there. It's for your kids, it's for your grandkids, it's for your great-grandkids. We call that legacy. Now, Josh mentioned before about our legacy offering. If you haven't participated yet, then you can avail yourself to that. For the people that are online, you can go to our website, go to the... click on giving, click on legacy, and you will find there you can download the promise card, the pledge card, and also what I'm believing for card. And for the rest of us here, most of us here have done that, but I want to give you an opportunity if you haven't already done. And make sure that your promise, that's between you and God. We're not going to harass you and say, oh, well, you haven't done this. But this is part of your promise and your pledge to God. And And we're going to reveal to you next week where we're at, so that at least you know where our goal is at, and that'll be a good thing. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of, you know, the pastoral team, of your faithfulness and commitment. You know, it's a big ask, isn't it, for us to reach this goal. But we have done this a number of years since I've been here, and I know that God has always come through for us because it's a seed of faith. It is something that we said, God, I don't know how I'm going to afford this, but I'm going to lay it down, and I'm with wisdom. I'm going to lay it down, and I know that you're going to provide for me no matter what. As Pastor Tony always mentioned, it's not about equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. So whatever you gave, whatever you're going to give, I celebrate and applaud you, because this is for the future. You know, I was thinking about this. I was actually driving, and because I work here as well, it's easy to just be taking for granted what your workplace is. So Impact Church, I believe Impact Church will live true to its name. You know, Impact Church is not just a name because it's a name. There's impact. We want to be a church that is impactful. We want to be a church that's going to impact the community. You know, we do these little things like the hamper drive and the angel tree because we don't want our name to be in lights, but we want Jesus glorified. That's why we do it. And God is using you and I to be partners with that. And I'm excited because, you know, it's not about Impact Church. It's about, hey, there's a community of believers that want to actually help us. So when you tithe and when you give, that goes to that. You know, you are actually participating and putting a seed in the ground and saying, I made a difference. I made a difference to this. And what God has started in this church, He will complete it. He will complete it. He's going to use other people that is to come and yet to come through that door to make sure that it comes to completion. There are things that God has promised you and I and this church that may not happen in our lifetime, but they will happen in your lifeline. Can I say that again? That God has promised you something. You, me, this church. It may not happen in our lifetime, but it will definitely happen in our lifeline. I believe that Impact Church is not just a church for this generation, but for the generation to come. That we will see and taste that the Lord is good and that His faithfulness will be known throughout all this generation. And it is our responsibility to make that known. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail it. So that's just my introduction. I want to get back now to what I'm trying to say. We're going to look at Matthew 14, verse 22 to 29. I'm going to read this because it's quite a lengthy passage, but stay with me. So immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Now, if you read prior to that, they just fed the 5,000 people, right? So after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. That's Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, away, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter, the bold one, Peter called to him and said, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you walking on the water." So Jesus said, "Okay, yes, come." Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. He said, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. So Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" You know, I was reading through this passage, and the story is like a highlight moment for Peter, because I think that Peter was saying, "Hey, Jesus, you know, I just walked on water, and I was trying to find out how many kilometers that was, and I think it was around 5.5 kilometers of him walking on the water towards Jesus, right?" And when I looked at this story, it's not about Peter's great faith to step out of the boat, but the focus was about his little faith. Like, wouldn't you think Jesus would applaud him and say, or give him a ribbon and say, "Hey, yay, you know, you've done it." But why would Jesus embarrass him and say, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" And I've heard a lot of sermons about this particular passage of scripture, but I want to take it in a different angle for you today, because I saw something that God has also teaching me, a lesson on what faith is. What should have been a moment of Jesus encouraging Peter's faith on walking water? Jesus focused on his little faith. You would think that Jesus would have said something to him and said, "Hey, you know, that's good job." But it didn't. Why did you doubt? Can I say that even moments of doubt, God is still with you? Having doubts doesn't discount us of not having faith. Can I say that again? And some, that would be a real freedom for some of you. Just because you have doubt doesn't mean you don't have faith. What is the opposite of faith? People would often say fear. People would often say doubt, but it is not. Doubt is often the doorway to faith. The opposite of faith is certainty. Think about that. Doubt doesn't keep us from having faith. Doubt gives us something to have faith for. If we're going to have faith to finish this year, you know, then we need four things that I want to share with you this morning. We need to have faith that seizes and faith that sustains. In this passage of scripture, when I was reading that Jesus' heart was really for Peter to continue walking on water with him, right? He wanted Peter to continue walking on the boat and have faith that he won't sink, that he would have enough strength to start, but also strength to finish. God is far more interested in how we finish our faith. A faith that causes me not to start, but a faith that I can finish. You know, because sometimes as humans, we get a little bit excited. We get a little bit zealous when something happens. You know, when I was at Bible college many, many years ago, I remember the zealousness that I had, and most of my, you know, classmates have as well, and said, "You know, when we finish, when we get out of this, we're going to take on the world. We're going to be a missionary." And, you know, and we were full of faith. 5 years later, 10 years later, in fact, 23 years later, I'm not so sure where are those other 23 people that were in the class. I know, and I've heard that some of them have shipwrecked their faith. And some of them is actually like, don't believe at all. Makes my heart sad. I think there's only about 2 or 3 people that is powering on for God. And that's what happens, you know. In our life, sometimes we get so zealous, but there's a cost. When you have faith in Jesus, there's a cost. There's a cost to be paid. We need to have faith that not only seizes the dream, but we need to sustain the dream. I believe Jesus is teaching us a lesson here to have faith to finish, not just to start. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says this, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. One of the things I remember hearing about this is that when Jesus was in the boat, he did not rebuke the other disciples. If you read that again, he came in there and he didn't rebuke him. I was going to say, well, why did you, like if I was Jesus, and I'm glad I'm not, is that I would rebuke the other disciples, right? Why did you stay in the boat? Why didn't you just go and step out of the boat like Peter did? And I often wondered why he didn't rebuke them. Why didn't you go out to be like Peter? Peter participated, you procrastinated. Here is lesson number two. We need faith that follows, faith that feeds. I believe there is a call on each and every one of our lives here. God is calling us to act on the word that God has called us to do. There's a certain word for each and every one of us. You can't have my word. You have yours that God is giving you. If you want to have faith to flourish, then you need to feed your faith. Then how? And what was that like? What does that look like in practical terms? Feed your faith by remembering and reflecting God's words over your life. I don't know about you, but when I got baptized and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I have been given prophecies. I don't know if you know what prophecies are for those who are that. But prophecies are words over your life that you will do, that we can see in the future. And I have that in a notebook. And I've kept a journal of the things that I felt God has been saying to me, and I kept that. But you know what? I don't live by the words of people. I want a rhema word from God. I want the living, the life-giving word of God. I want that. Because sometimes as people, we are, you know, we can be zealous and we can say things that may not be true, that may be stirred up by our own feelings and perceptions, but God doesn't do that. The Bible teaches us is that to not despise prophecies, but to test everything. To test everything. So give you a practical thing. If someone says a word over you, test that. Go to God and say, God, is this real? Is this the truth? Test everything. So it's there, but I follow what God is impressing upon me and what I believe God is telling me at this point in time. You need to remember to don't live your life on someone else's word. If you look at verse 28, when you look at verse 28, Peter then called to him, Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come and I'll walk on the water. If God is not spoken it to you, you can't step into it. That's the lesson. If God didn't give you a word, don't step on that. Don't go forward and try and do it your own. It was Peter in this passage. It was Peter that called to Jesus and said and asked the question. It was Peter that Jesus spoke to. Can you imagine if all of the disciples said, well, you know, I heard that word, so maybe I'll just jump in it and start walking on water. What would you think would happen? They would immediately sank because it's not their word. Jesus said, Peter, come. He didn't say, hey, all of you, all the other disciples, you come too. He didn't say that. So my thought on that is that Matthew 4:4, man do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Peter wasn't walking on water. He was walking on a word. He was walking on a word. One word from God can change the outcome of your life. I wonder what word are you listening to? What words are convicting you? Isaiah 30:21 says this: your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. This is the way. Walk in it. God is saying to some of us, some of you today, I have given you a word, now walk in it. Don't fear, just walk in it. Just walk and I will tell you where to go next. Because the promise says there is that you will hear a voice behind you. You will hear a voice behind you and he will tell you whether to turn right to the left. You've got to trust God's voice. And it's so important to know God's voice. How does he talk to you? People said to me, how does God talk to you, Maz? I say, well, I don't actually hear the audible voice of God. I have never had that. I have impressions of how God speaks to me. He often speaks to me in the shower, like I've shared before, because I can't run away because I'm wet and I'll slip and I'll just break my neck. Okay, that's a bit overdramatic, but you know what I mean? But God speaks to us in different ways. And God will speak to you. And you know, when you know and you learn to discern the voice of God and it lines up with the scripture, that is God speaking to you. He will never tell you anything that's contrary to the word of God. He will never tell you to go jump off a lake. Maybe, you know, he will never tell you to leave your husband and for another woman. You know what I mean? He just won't do that. And God, you need God's voice, especially in this day and age when there's competing voices everywhere, when there's things in our life where, to distract us. God is saying, learn my voice. Learn to hear my voice. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not looking what I'm walking into. I know what I'm walking with. Faith is pushing forward into the unknown. The place where we say, I don't know how or when, but I don't know, have to know how and when I know who. When I know who spoke to me. When I know who says it, then that seals it. Everything you're stepping into that God has already spoken to, it's yours. It's yours. John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they will follow me. Like I said, there's so many voices out there. And you've got to be careful on whose voice you're swayed into and who you listen to. Pray for God's wisdom and discernment over you. Because if you're not careful, you'll be dictated by other people's voices rather than God's voice. And in Psalm 23, it's not on the thing, he says that, I am your shepherd. I, Jesus, is your shepherd. Don't let anyone else be the shepherd. Don't be fooled into following a voice that sounds like a shepherd. Another voice will lead you to convenience, to comfort and conformity and condemnation. That's not the voice of God. The shepherd that you must listen to is always loving commitment and conviction. You know, I've often heard many people say this, is that when making decisions, and I ask them this, so did God say that? Did you hear from God? And they said, I don't know. I'm not so sure. But I have a piece about it. Can I tell you that you just don't need a piece about it? You need the word of God, because the word will bring you peace. Yeah. It's not the other way around. You need the word of God. When it comes to having faith to finish, the third one, is that we need faith that sees and faith that stays. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We need to train our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see beyond the surface, beyond the things that we are feeling. We need to open our spiritual eyes. And I prayed for the church today that, God, can you open our eyes to see beyond the natural, to see beyond what I can see right now. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law." You know, in verse 30, I don't know whether it's in here. In verse 30, here it is. When we talk about faith that sees and stays, why did Peter sink? Why did he start to sink? Because it says here, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he said," he shouted. Romans 10:17 says this, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Did you know it was the same winds and waves the whole time? If you look at it and read that scripture, it before Jesus appeared, it was the same wind. It was the same wind buffeting through, and it was very scary, okay? The storm. But what happened? What's the difference? And I was trying to find out what the difference was. And even then, you know, Peter had the courage to still say, "Yes, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you." So what's changed? His focus changed. His focus changed. So he was looking to Jesus, but then he saw the strong wind. You know, in life, you will see things that will scare you. You will see things that will rock you, that will discourage you, that will disappoint you. And this is where you need your faith. Faith to see beyond the natural, but faith to see and stay anyway. How many times do we shift our focus? Winds and waves will come in many forms, relationally, financially, mentally, socially, spiritually. Winds and waves is not a symbol of God leaving you or against you. Can I encourage you to not allow the circumstances of this life to steal your joy, to steal your song just because of the storm? Can I encourage you to keep singing in the struggle, to keep singing as you stay put, keep singing in the storm and keep serving in the sadness? If you want faith to finish, then you have to have faith that sees and faith that stays. Because it's always a challenge to see things and stay at the same time. Oh, I want to get out of here. It's not what I want. But this is what it says in James 1:3. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." It's our faith that brings victory. Hebrews 12:2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father." We need to have faith that finishes. The last thing that I want to share with you this morning is that we need faith that abides. God has called us to abide, not produce. John 15:4 says this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You know, fruit is not produced without abiding. If you're going to finish your faith to faith, you need to understand the process. Further down the scripture, when we talk about that, is that there's pruning involved. And I'm not a gardener. Like every plant I touch kind of like dies. When they see me coming, they scream for their life. And I just like, at the moment, we have in our front door, we have this beautiful gardenias that's actually flowering at the moment. It smells so beautiful. It's one of my favorite flowers, gardenias. And it brings out the aroma. But I was talking to my sister about it because there were some little bugs and things, and it's just like going here and everywhere, and I just don't want to touch it just in case it dies, because everything, any plant I touch, kind of like, I don't have the green thumb. And I was talking to my sister about it because she's got a mowing business and in the landscaping services. And I said, what do I do with this? And she said, prune it. I said, yeah, but then I'll be pruning the, you know, the flowers and the things, and then it's going to be like hacked. I said, can you do it for me? And she said, yeah, okay, I'll do it, but I need to prune it. You know why? I said, okay, why? So that it can grow, it can flourish. And that's it with our faith. If you want your faith to flourish, not to flounder, you need to prune. And Jesus comes as our gardener to prune, not to hurt us, but to help us. Yeah. And God is in the business of pruning. And you've got to understand this process about gardening. And I don't know, I just asked my sister about it. There's a process in that, especially if it's in the vine. Because sometimes when it grows away from the vine. You've got to cut out the older ones, the older branches. Because sometimes when it's not cut, when it's not pruned, it will not produce the fruit that's supposed to produce. It will produce an inferior crop, an inferior fruit. So we need to cut. We need to prune. Like Jesus is our master gardener. He will prune you. He will prune you to make you better, to make you have fruit and fruit that will remain. He doesn't want just some, you know, secondary fruit. He wants the fruit of your life. Your life is an aroma for others to see, for others to smell. I wonder what fruit are you bearing this morning? And if you are actually needing to be pruned, God will prune it. Because sometimes when we get older, when we get older in our Christian walk, we tend to go, oh, I don't need to do that. Like, I've been to church last week. Why do I have to go to church again today? I've been to Connect Group 2 weeks ago. Do I really need to do that? We get into the notion of just reducing and decreasing our involvement because we think that this will do. Can I say that the life that God is calling you to do is not just a secondary one. He wants you to live a full life, and that's why He's going to prune you, and it's going to hurt. I keep telling God, just leave me alone, man. Just go and deal with the other branches. It hurts to be pruned, but after that, God is going to produce a crop that is better than what you've ever hoped for. And similarly, when I talk to my sister about the process of pruning, you know that when there's a young branch, it doesn't produce fruit in the first year, because if it produces fruit and the branch is weak, it will break. And so that's why it needs to be attached to the vine, just so that you know and remember that you cannot do nothing without God. You cannot live this life and cruise on, like, you know, and say, yeah, it's okay. Jesus wants to prune your life. And this is what I was saying this morning. If you're going to have faith to finish, you need to partner with God. You need to partner with Him. It takes two to have faith to finish. Why don't we all stand this morning? I hope this message has helped you. I really hope that this message has spoken to you about what to have, what we need to have faith to finish. Because, you know, the process of abiding is this, is that I don't reach to grow, I grow to reach. And there's a lot of people out there that needs to be reached. Part of our vision is to reach people. How can you reach if you don't grow? Because God is saying to each and every one of us is that God is more interested in what I am becoming than what I am doing. My growth defines my reach. And you need God. You need to partner with God to grow. And part of that is pruning. Can we just sing and have a moment of worship right now as we close? And I really believe that, you know, this message was for someone or some people, and people are online. Why don't we just take a moment to worship God and in awe and thank Him for the faith. There's a measure of faith that God has given each and every one of us, and we need to activate that faith. Maybe your faith has floundered. Maybe
your faith needs to be renewed. If you want to do that today, I invite you to just, you know, maybe come to the front and just ask God to give you a measure of faith again. Faith that will make you finish strong. Faith that will make you finish well. Because God is so interested, not just the big details of your life, but the small details. And part of that is having faith in God. Having faith in God is something that we need, especially in the world we live in. So again, I just want to invite you to the front if you want to renew your faith, or you don't know a faith that I'm talking about and you want to know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come, and if there's someone who wants to come in here, then they will pray for you. And while we keep singing that, if you need to come this morning for any prayer needs as well, then I invite you to come. Them no matter where they are at, that you will touch them, Lord God, with a measure of faith, that Lord God, that you will just, whatever they need, Lord God, that when they call out to you, Lord God, that you will immediately be with them. As soon as you hear, God is saying that as soon as he hears you, he will rescue you. And thank you so much for your word this morning, and I pray that people will be blessed this week and next week, and you know, we just want to thank you for your word this morning. Amen, amen. So, church family, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hospitality is open. Please make sure you just stick around and connect with people today. I want to say goodbye to our online family. Thank you for being with us. And if there's anything that you need, make sure that you message us or contact our office or go to our website. We thank you. Amen.